Well, last week we began what we've envisioned to be a four-week series I've entitled Limitless. And in that message, we talked about last week about the limitless faith that God gives us when we trust Him. Because in a real sense, those of us who've answered the call to follow Him have found a relationship that is limitless. Today we want to look at the second area that we've included in the message series, and it's the idea of limitless wisdom. That's an interesting word, interesting concept when you start to think about it. James, over in James chapter 1, says this about wisdom. Jesus' brother said this: if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Let him ask who? Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so what he wanted us to understand there is, when we lack wisdom, not if we lack wisdom, the one to go to for wisdom is God. God himself, to say, God, would you give me the wisdom I need for this moment, this direction. Over in the Proverbs, Solomon, and Solomon was an interesting guy. When he came to be king, God basically offered him anything he wanted. And the one thing he asked for was wisdom. He says this about it, and it's very reminiscent of our text in Proverbs, or in Psalms here in a moment, but he says this: the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so the writer there in Proverbs, he's saying, if you don't want God's wisdom, if you reject God's wisdom, if you won't seek God's wisdom, you really are a fool. That's kind of the short definition of fool, I think. Now, the dictionary gives us a definition of wisdom, and it says it's this: the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. Don't you love when they use the same word in the definition? What is wisdom? Being wise. Okay. I need more than that. I need help. The definition there, it says it's a quality of knowledge, of experience, knowledge, good judgment. I think the Bible focuses more on the idea of judgment than anything else. And by good judgment, it doesn't mean your good and my good, but it means God's good. That God himself is the one who is truly good. And God himself, if we will seek him and let him lead us and guide us, that he will provide for our lives not just wisdom, but limitless wisdom. A wisdom to accomplish the things he has for us. So how do you get wisdom? How do you gain wisdom? Some would say, well, the only way you can gain wisdom is by lots of experience. That would mean that only those who are over like 75, 80 years old would have wisdom. Except Solomon had wisdom when he was a young man and God gave it to him. So that's not really completely accurate. Is it something we have to live through a lot of experiences to develop? Is it only a gift that God releases when we ask it? Or is it something that some have and, well, let's just be honest, some don't? The verse I want us to drill into this morning is found at the end of Psalm 111. And Psalm 111 is an interesting psalm in and of itself. There's several psalms right there together, back to back to one another. But Psalm 111 is one of those. And it was one they would use when they would celebrate the Passover. So they would sing that and be a part of that. If you remember when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and they got ready to go out to the garden, they sang a hymn. Could have been Psalm 111. It might have been 112 or 110 or 113, but it could have been this one exactly, because that's really the way it was used in worship, was to be a part of that service of celebrating the Passover, which is what Jesus was doing. I invite you to look with me at Psalm 111, verse 10. Just one verse today. And it says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Father God, I pray that as we look at this one verse today, that you would help us understand the process of wisdom development in our lives. That, Father, it's not something necessarily that we're born with, though some seem to have a better sense of common sense than others. But we're not talking about common sense. Father, some have a better sense of mechanical aptitude than others. We're not talking about mechanical aptitude. We're not talking about even compassion here, God, that some have in greater degree than others. But God, we're talking about your wisdom that you want to provide in our lives in a manner that is limitless, that allows us to be the people you want us to be, to live the lives that you want us to live, to reveal your presence as we live for you. God, open our hearts today to this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So where does limitless wisdom begin? Where does it start? Where do you begin the whole process? It tells us right there in the verse, doesn't it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So limitless wisdom begins with fear. You're going, no, wait a second. I don't particularly care for fear. Or maybe you're one of those that really loves fear. There's some of you like that. But here's what I want you to grasp. As this psalm comes to a close, the writer gives us a process. I think it's a three-step process we find in this verse that we can then learn to live in God's limitless wisdom. And the place to begin is fear. Now, you might say, but Pastor, I don't like fear. You know, fear can be crippling, can't it? The fear of what might happen can keep us from doing what we might need to do. Fear can be draining in our lives. It can keep us just worn out. We're going, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where it's going to go. It can keep us from going down roads that maybe God has for us in our lives. Fear can surely paralyze, without a doubt. But I got to tell you, fear has a place in our lives. Psychologists tell us that fear has a place in our lives. They say this. One psychologist with the Smithsonian Institute said this. Fear creates distraction. It creates distraction which can then be a, get this, positive experience. Fear can have a positive outcome. When something scary happens, in that moment, we are on high alert. We're not focused on the things around us that might be on our mind, getting in trouble at work or worrying about a test or things like that, which what it does is that fear allows us to live in the here and the now, in the moment. We're faced with the fear. So the place to begin to find God's wisdom is in fearing the Lord. You're going, you know, so we're supposed to run from him like he's going to destroy us and kill us. No. What we need in our lives is a focus that says, God, I want nothing other than you and your wisdom. I want you to guide. I want you to be in charge. I want you to be the boss. So the idea here, nothing like a sinus infection to give you a great accent. The idea here is this. It's not merely terror of what could go wrong if we don't submit to the wisdom of God. It's not about the terror of what could go wrong if we don't do God's leading. Indeed, it goes further to a place of this, get this, respect. It says, God, I respect that your thoughts, your ways, your wisdom is way better than anything I could ever come up with. In a very real sense, the way to find God's limitless wisdom is to actually respond to the greater life he has for us. Do you believe that God has a greater life for you? Do you believe that God has something in store for you and for your life, that he has a place for you to serve, a place for you to be in the kingdom of God, for you to make a difference in life? I believe he has a place like that for every single one of us. So within the pathway, there is a wisdom then available to us to live that life. How do we find it? How do we discover it? How do we get to it? We begin with fear. It says, God, I respect you and your leading way more than my leading. I got to tell you, many of us don't live that way, do we? Many of us say, I know what to do. I can handle it. I can do it myself. We're kind of like that 3-year-old who wants to put on their tennis shoes. I can do it my big self, mama. Up until the shoes need to be tied and they come looking to you for help. The psalmist here is trying to help us understand that until God is allowed to be God, God really isn't God at all. If God isn't God in every part of your life, every action of your life, or every activity of your life, he really isn't your God. And we'll come back to that at the end of the message because it ties back together very, very cleanly. So consider this, a life without the fear of the Lord is one that says this, I don't have any consequences of my actions, I can do what I want to. Well, that sounds like the world we live in today, doesn't it? I can do what I want. I can do it myself. There's no consequence. There's no outcome to this. I'm going to do it, and I don't care what anybody else thinks about it. Because without fear, especially fear of God, we live without a respect for the place of holy God in our life, and it results in us that we're not connected to God, and we just kind of live just waffling through life, and we miss it. But have you ever stopped to think of the blessings that come from having fear of God? There's a whole bunch of verses I'm going to give you. You probably won't have time to write them all down. If you want them later, holler at me. I'll get it for you. But there's some of these areas that God wants to bless us with. It is this, is a motivation to live a holy life. Proverbs 3:7 says this, be not wise in your own eyes. Well, maybe that should have been the memory verse today, huh? Be not wise in your own eyes. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. That's a motivation to live a life that is centered on God and His ways and not on our ways. How about another one? As we get a prolonged life, as God has allowed to guide our choices. Look at this verse from Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, makes it longer. But the years of the wicked, what happens? They'll be short. So God wants to prolong our life, and the way we do that is by having a fear of the Lord. He gives us a longer life in that process. How about this one, a sense of security as we understand the holding power of God. God hangs on to us. Look at Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. I have a confidence, what? Not in me. Not in you, not in my country, not in my family, not in my finances, not in this, not in that, but in who? The Lord. Why? Because He's the one that is solid. And in that, His children have a refuge. That's a place of safety. How about a sense of a better life we get? Look at Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. God wants to bring into our lives this better life that He has for us. And we think to ourselves, well, if I could do what I want to do and do my thing, then I'd be okay and my life would be great. Can I tell you something? That's the exact opposite of the great life God has for you. It's where we trust Him and His life we find the better life. How about a sense of safety and satisfaction? Proverbs 19, the fear of the Lord leads to life. And whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. God wants to bring a sense of satisfaction to your life. He says, I'm right there with you in the midst of whatever you're going through. I'm going to carry you through it. And you go, I trust you in that, God. How about one more? We even find great blessings. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. You want to be blessed in life? Fear the Lord. You want to find a good life? Fear the Lord. You want to find the great things in life? Fear the Lord. But can I tell you something? Many of us don't want to even begin to fear the Lord. We think we can do it on our own. We can do it better than God could do it. We can do it on our own way better than God could ever impact our lives. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you want to find the limitless wisdom and the life that God has for you, it is found as we begin with the fear of the Lord. This is the thought I want you to consider from this. And yes, it's a take on somebody else's book, so be what it is. Our best life now, my friends, begins with fear of the Lord. There are a lot of people running around today saying, well, if you want to have a great life, you need to think about yourself positively, you need to have a good self-image, you need to be going in the right direction, you need to be doing what you need to be doing and be what you got to be the best you can be. I got to tell you, that's not the way you find the best life in the Lord. I'm not even sure that's how you find the best life in general. Because the best life is found when we begin with a fear, a respect of God that says, God, you're God and I'm not. I'm not in charge, you are. Because when we seek to live our lives separated from the Lord, here's what you find. You may find a decent life, but you won't find the best life. The best life is found when we follow the Lord. How easy is it for us to settle for the good things in life when we miss the great things? So my challenge to you in this part of the message is this. Choose to respect, to fear the place God holds in your life and puts you on the right pathway. So we got the pathway right. We're done. No, the passage went on. Second part of verse 10 says this. All those who practice it have a good understanding. I always love when they put that indefinite in there, don't you? What is it? It what? The beginning of wisdom is found in fear, and I really believe that's where it begins. But where do we go from there? What's next? What does it take to move forward in living out the fearful life of godly wisdom? Now, a lot of people will come up with a lot of different answers. Let me give you some of their thoughts. Some will say this, learning is the right answer. The more you know, the more you understand, the more you study, the better you're going to be. Not a thing in the world wrong with studying, not a thing in the world wrong with learning more and more and more. But that's not the answer. Others will say this, if you can just find yourself, discover who you really are, no matter what it means, that just be that person that God, that you think you, that God wants you to be, then you got it. You made it. I think there's part of that to it, but that's not it. The psalmist, I think, makes the path crystal clear. He says, all those who practice it. It. You know what it is? It's in the context. We just talked about it for the first few minutes of the message. It's the what? It's the fear of the Lord. As we practice fearing the Lord, as we practice listening to the Lord, as we practice walking with the Lord, as we practice being the people that God has for us to be, that's where we find wisdom developing in our lives. That's when it grows and expands and makes a difference. So in a real sense, the way we find this wisdom is to first fear the Lord, but then we have to continue to fear the Lord, and we have to continue to walk with him and let it develop in our lives and to have a relationship with him. Think back with me to the early days of Jesus' ministry. I like going back to that passage because this is where Jesus started it with his disciples. This is what he said, if you want to know me and get to know my ways and live with me and walk with me and experience me, this is how you do it. I think the principle has stayed the same for us today. Hadn't changed, except we can't do it in a literal sense that they could. Here it is. Look at Mark 1:16. I think it's on the screen. Jesus, speaking of Jesus, passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, please go and enroll in the local college and seminary and get an education, and then you can come and be with me. Is that what he said? If you'll go and get, build your resources and finances and get a good bank account, then you can come and work with me. Is that what he said? How about this one? He said, well, if you'll just really have a good family and a good life and good things in your life, then you can follow me. Is that what he said? No, here's what he says. This is hard stuff. You ready? He said, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. He says, just walk with me, live with me, be with me, experience my life. Y'all getting what he's saying? He's saying, you don't have to figure it all out first. What you got to do is surrender first and follow him. And then he'll, how about another verse that goes with this? It's just next chapter, Mark chapter 4. And as Jesus passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in a tax booth. He was an enemy of most of the people in the country because he worked for the Romans. And yet Jesus comes to him and says, you know, if you could just get a little more money out of that tax booth and put it into the ministry that I'm leading, then we could really have a great ministry and you'd have a good path in your life. In fact, he does the exact opposite. He says, drop all you're doing there and what? Follow me. The way we find limitless wisdom is in walking with Jesus more and more and more. How about one more? Jesus was speaking to his disciples one day and calling the crowd to him with his disciples. He said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What Jesus did over and over again was to call people, call you, call me into an ongoing relationship with him where we would walk with Jesus day by day by day, whereby he would transform us step by step by step to be the people he intends us to be. Now, these guys remained a work in progress. It took the rest of their lives, and they were never complete until they passed away. But God was working in their lives the longer they walked with Jesus, the more they knew about him. Charles Spurgeon once said this about this verse. Men may know and be very orthodox. They may talk and be very eloquent. They may speculate and be very profound. But the best proof of their intelligence, must be found in their actually doing the will of the Lord. The way we find limitless wisdom is as we listen to him, have fear for him, and walk with him, and let him transform us day by day by day. Spurgeon went on to say this, practical godliness is the test of wisdom. Which leads me to this application. How we live, how you live, how I live, reveals how close we are to God's wisdom. You say, well, I think I'm close to him. Well, look at your life. How's your life going? I don't mean that you have any issues and problems, because we all get to have that from time to time. That's not the point. See, we can profess to be in a relationship with God and have all his wisdom all day, but ultimately how we live facing whatever we face reveals the accuracy of those claims. And when we repeatedly live the life of the fool, our actions reveal our true life. But it's God's wisdom initiated by fear, a genuine respect for the Lord is now released in our lives. Here's what happens. Our lives begin to more and more and more reflect his influence and his presence and his leading. We actually prove our spiritual intelligence, if you will, by actually doing the will of God. So here's the question we all want to ask. How do I find the will of God? How do I find God's will for my life? Boy, that's a great question. You want the answer? You've already got it. We've already got the answer to God's purpose and direction for our lives. You're going, well, nobody sent me the memo. Nobody dropped me a text, sent me an email. I haven't seen it yet. Well, here's the dealio. You got to pick up the book. He's already revealed to you and me so much of what he wants us to do right there. You go, what do you mean? Well, have you read it? If you haven't, that's a good place to start. How do we know the will of God? Because he's already told us in the pages of his word, this is the thing, these are the things, this is the area, this is the development, this is what I want you to be doing since you know me, do this. You go, well, what do you mean? Hey, let me give you a short list. And it's not an exhaustive list because we don't have that kind of time, okay? How about regularly gathering together with God's people? Well, I don't like them. They offended me. I don't like that person. I don't like this. I don't like that. Get over it! God says, gather together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is. And when we say, I'm not getting together with God's people, we're saying we don't want to be with God. Let me tell you what, there's not a one of you in this room that are perfect. Oh, wait, let me rephrase that. Not a one of us in this room that's perfect. But God loves us and he wants us to be together as brothers and sisters. How about this one? You need to be supporting the shared ministry of the local church. What does that mean? Okay, I'll go ahead and lay it out real plain for you. As followers of Christ, we need to be tithing. Oh, he said the word. I haven't said it in a long time around here, but I'm going to say it. You need to be tithing to the general budget of your church to support the ministry of your church. Well, I want to designate my money to this and this and this. Great, do whatever you want to with your money, but don't steal God's. Put it into the work of the kingdom. I shared this a couple Wednesday nights ago, I guess last December. There came a point last year, let me tell you what, my family, we had a serious heart-to-heart conversation thinking, do we continue to support the ministry of this church? You're going, you thought about that? Yeah, I thought about that. But you know what? For me to stop tithing to my church was a sin, and I wasn't going to be involved in that. So I quit thinking about that and kept right on writing the checks. Actually, writing the checks. Wow. See, God's already told us how to have his limitless wisdom. He says, you do it by walking with me. You do it by practicing it. You begin to walk with me and do the things, and God will change your life. Well, I don't want him to change my life. Well, then something's wrong with your heart. Start doing the things he's told you to do, and then maybe he'll show you the next step. One more thought. I'll finish. I recognize the time. Limitless wisdom begins in fear. It develops by practice. And where does it culminate? In praise. What do you mean? in praise. His praise endures forever. Now, as wisdom begins in fear, respect of the place of God in our lives, and develops by the practice of following Jesus day in and day out, what then happens is a culmination of wisdom. And now, in our educationally based culture, we want to say, okay, when I finally know it all about Jesus and about his word and about who he is, then I'll be there. That's not the biblical answer. From a materialistic standpoint, we say, okay, if we have more possessions, as we have accumulated more stuff, then we will have arrived. No, that's not what the Bible tells us. It tells us there's something else. The Talmud tells us that the gauge whereby we determine whether we're indeed living within the wisdom of God is this: who's the object of your praise? What do you mean? We all worship God. Do we? Church Spurgeon said, it's based on what you do. What are you doing? What's most important in your life? You know, God created every one of us to worship. There's something within us as people that we're going to worship. The question isn't, are you going to worship? The question is, who or what are you going to worship? Who do you worship? You go, what do you mean? I remember years ago, I heard a guy out in California talk about this. You may have heard him, a guy named Rick Warren. He said this: the way you figure out what's important in your life, pull out your calendar and your checkbook, and you'll figure it out. Where do you spend your time and your money? That's a scary thought, let me tell you what, because some of us, if we pull down our calendars, we look down our calendars and go, you know, the things of God are really not that important to me. We pull out our checkbook and say, you know, the things of God are not really that important to me. This is, or that is, or these areas over here. Here's the application I want you to catch. It's who you praise reveals your source of wisdom. If you praise your checkbook, here's what happens. You want to read all you can about finance and banking and how to save money and how to make money and how to increase your dividends and your capital gains. And you want to know that stuff. Why? There's nothing wrong with knowing that stuff, by the way. But it can't take the place of God. God is not going to share his affections with anybody else. Friends, we're missing it. We let God be kind of this superficial thing that we have on Sunday. We go through the motions, we do our checklist, and we're finished. And okay, God, we'll see you next week, unless something comes up and I can't be there. By the way, you know, he's not just here. He goes with you. He wants your praise above everything else in life. Listen to Psalm 148, a couple of verses there. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Okay, he covered all of us. Verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? For his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. God is calling you and me, listen, to live a life of wisdom, of limitless wisdom, a life that starts with the fear of God, a respect for God and who he is, that moves on into a practice of letting that develop in our lives. I got to tell you, you will never arrive in this thing, but if you don't move forward, you're going to miss the blessings that he has for you. And it will culminate in the way you praise. And by the way, that has nothing to do with the music in your worship, the personalities in your worship, not the environment of the worship. It has to do with the object of your worship. Who do you praise? Let me ask you this as I finish. What might God be speaking to you about today? What does he have for your life today that you need to adjust to be where he wants you to be, to experience the wisdom he wants you to experience? Man, God's got great things for your life. But when we run off on a tangent for all the other junk in life, we miss the greater things of his wisdom. Father God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the blessing of being in this house today. And Father, our prayer is that you would guide us to daily put you first. Because, Lord, if you're not first, you really aren't part of who we are. And God, we want your wisdom to be loose in our life. We want you to guide us and to show us how to live the life you want us to live, to be the people you want us to be involved in the ministries that you want us to be involved in, to support the kingdom's work that you call us to support. Father, we pray your blessing as we respond to you, Father, whether publicly or not. But we either say yes to your leading or we say no. God, if we say no, convict us. If we say yes, bless us. We pray your blessing on these few moments. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.